November. Moon cakes without grandfather. Leaning out the kitchen window, Shirley and her parents watched the crescent moon drift through the clouds. Below, a lone maple shivered in the wind, shedding leaf after leaf that scooted down the lane without so much as a backward glance. No one spoke. All knew they were thinking the same thoughts. How could they have let the eve of the mid-autumn festival slip by without realizing it? Americans did not commemorate the fullest moon of the year, but the Wongs had done so for centuries. If grandfather had not sent the mooncakes, would they have remembered at all? True, the clan was far away and there was no courtyard to gather in, but that was all the more reason for them to recall the glow of reunion under the stars. Each had an excuse. Mother had not been feeling well. Father had been toiling day and night to repair the leaks that sprouted throughout the house like chickenpox. And Shirley had been moping for weeks over the loss of the World Series. But no excuse eased the sadness that welled in their hearts. Now the moon itself disappeared, swallowed by a fitful cloud. Father closed the window, and together the family returned to their seats at the dining table. On each plate was a golden moon cake filled with lotus seeds and honey. Shirley started to take a bite, then stopped. She did not deserve such a delicious treat. A tear escaped, then another. Mother dried her cheeks, smiling a brave smile. "Let us pretend we were there, and tonight is the 15th day of the 8th moon. This table, the altar in the Garden of Celestial Harmony. This covering, not oilcloth, but red brocade, embroidered by the ladies of the House of Wong. This bowl, not empty, but one of five, filled with grapes, apples, peaches, melons, and pomegranates. Offerings to the gods for the longevity of our clan. The salt, incense. The pepper, candles." "And all around," Shirley said, transported by the dream, "flowers. In the air, the smell of jasmine. Overhead, the biggest and the brightest of moons. So near that we can see the hare that stands under the acacia tree, pounding the elixir of life in a jade mortar. The paper lanterns are dancing in the willows while a musician plays on the lute."
"There sit my father and mother," Father continued, "surrounded by clansmen. The harvest is in, and we are all together, from near and far, to celebrate with the reading of poetry, the bond of all bonds, family."
Once again, no one spoke. But this time, the silence was gentle, like a pause in a piece of beautiful music when one melody has ended and another is yet to begin. At last, Shirley spoke. "I wish..."
"What do you wish, my daughter?"
"I wish I were the girl in grandfather's story."
"Which one?"
"The one about the filial daughter and the loving bride."
"My father tells so many, it's hard to be sure. Shirley, you tell it again. This, too, will bring us home."
She nodded, then began, telling it as grandfather would, slowly.